This morning, our gospel reading serves as our sermon text. It is the account of the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel was sent by God to make the blessed announcement, the happiest announcement ever heard, to Mary. As is our custom, I would invite you to rise for the reading of the gospel and the sermon text. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So far, our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon the preaching of this blessed word today. We pray that you would set us apart from this world for yourself. We pray that you would bring this announcement home to us in our hearts so that we might rejoice with Mary, with the house of Israel, and with all nations as we greet our coming Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, a daughter hid a camera in her kitchen. And she invited her mom over. She had a new stove, you see. And she told her mom, "This thing's got everything. You got to go take a look at it." So her mom went into the kitchen and she looked at the stove and she was amazed at all the things that it could do. And then she opened the oven. She wanted to take a look inside, and there in the oven was a single hamburger bun. And she was a little perplexed at this, and she said, there's a bun in the oven. And a couple of seconds later, it dawned on her what was meant by that piece of bread in the oven. And then she began to flap her arms like a manic chicken and run around the kitchen saying, "There's a bun in the oven." It makes for a great video on America's Funniest Home Video. It seems to be sort of a recurring theme, this sort of clever announcement of a pregnancy, because it seems like grandmas get a little excited over such announcements. Now, March 25th, that's almost exactly 9 months ago, that's the day that's set aside in the church for thinking about the Annunciation, thinking about how Gabriel came and announced to Mary and spoke God's word to her that she would bear the Christ child. But this is also a fine time to think about that as we prepare to welcome our Savior this evening and tomorrow morning. And that angel's announcement, that's what I want us to think about today and to recall, because that announcement is really the, the happiest announcement that I know of. It's the happiest announcement. It's a great blessing for Mary, a great blessing for her people, the people of Israel, and a great blessing for us today here in this place. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Now, from another person, such a greeting would be a little bit unusual. But from an angel, it was downright astounding. And you might think that Mary would be overjoyed to hear this, but it says that she was troubled at the saying. She couldn't figure out what it meant. She was trying to understand what was going on there. So what was it that troubled her about that announcement? I mean, besides the fact that there was a mighty holy angel standing before her saying these words, what was it that gave her trouble? Remember that this account in the beginning of St. Luke, Luke asked Mary about what had happened, and Mary filled in the details. So this is really Mary's account here at the beginning of Luke, and she's the one who reveals that she was troubled in her heart. So what was it that gave her trouble? Nothing had been announced about the pregnancy yet, so that wasn't it. In fact, in those days, such an announcement would be nothing but great joy. I think I would be reassured if the Lord told me that he was with me through an angel, but Mary's troubled. Mary's troubled because she's trying to figure out why she, of all people, would be favored. I can imagine her wondering in her heart, who, me? And then asking, why? Why me? Why should I be favored by the Lord? Now, contrary to some of the myths that are out there that have been said about this young woman, there was really nothing terribly special about Mary. She was a young woman in a rather backwater place in the Roman Empire. It's true that she was a descendant of David, but if you fast forward 9 months, when the census was called and all the relatives of David, all the descendants of David came to the house, to the town of Bethlehem, there were a lot of them around. So there was nothing special there either. Mary couldn't figure it out. And then she recalls what Gabriel said to her, and it kind of confirms this understanding of what she said. Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And I think it's very important to note that he uses that same word that we translate with favor here. It's a Greek word. The word is charis in Greek. And I suppose that one of its lesser meanings is sort of a dignity that's given to somebody, a grace given. But its main meaning is not that at all. Its main meaning is undeserved love. Mary was not given a dignity to pass out to other people. And the idea of her being full of grace is often charged with that idea. But here our translation is a little more exacting toward the original meaning in the Greek. Mary was favored because God favored her. Mary was favored because God was motivated, even though she didn't deserve it, we don't deserve it, God was motivated to express his love to her. God was announcing that he was going to do something for her that came from his heart. And it was not because of any merit or worthiness in her or anything special about her. And that's why she couldn't figure out exactly what was going on. She was a peasant girl. She was a young woman who was not yet even married. She had no wealth. She was not known to be of any special character or importance until that moment when the Lord chose her and made this happiest announcement to her. And what a great blessing this announcement was for Mary. She was going to receive something special from the Lord as a gift of His grace. And what would it be? Well, Gabriel doesn't delay. He says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." In that moment, Mary grasped what was going on. Mary understood that she would be the mother of the promised Savior, of the Messiah. Make no mistake, these words are the fulfillment of everything that the Old Testament believers held on to by faith. Mary would have recognized the importance of those words, "You will conceive." It doesn't mean you will conceive far off in the future. It means that she would conceive. And since she was a virgin, she would have thought upon that promise that God had given through the prophet Isaiah some 700 years earlier. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. The name of the child that Gabriel said that her child would have was Jesus, the Lord saves. It says that he would rule upon the throne of his father David forever. What earthly person can rule over something forever? Well, this is a prophecy about God, about the Savior. And that meant to Mary much more than just a personal blessing. That meant to her that her people would finally be visited by the Messiah, that they would see the fulfillment of all of God's promises to them. And she knew many of those things through her upbringing as a child among the people of Israel. She understood that announcement meant that her people would be greatly blessed. Now think about the context here. Mary was part of a society that for 400 years had not heard directly from God. There were no prophets during that time. There had been no miracles performed during that time. Only the misery of captivity to the Greeks and the Romans. The worship life of the people of Israel had been terribly disrupted, and many divisions had arisen among this new religion that had taken over, Judaism. And not one of them was focused on the grace of God. Not one of them was focused on God and His undeserved love toward us. Instead, they were focusing on how they could make God happy with them. Disarray within and without. Disarray in the earthly sense and in the spiritual sense. That's the culture that Mary had grown up in. The house of David was in ruins. But this happiest announcement was a great blessing for Israel because it meant that God was about to restore the truth of the gospel. He was about to demonstrate His grace on a scale far beyond anything that He had ever done before. He rescued His people from the Egyptians by bringing them through the Red Sea with the walls of water heaped up on both sides. That would be small in comparison to this. God had rescued the people of Israel from the captivity that they experienced in Babylon. Little in comparison. God was about to visit and to be with His people Israel and save them. Emmanuel, Jesus. But there was still the matter of how this could be. I mean, it's a very practical matter, I'm sure. Unlike Zechariah's disbelief at Gabriel's announcement about John being born, Mary responds in faith. And she simply asks Gabriel to explain, since she knew full well how babies were normally made. And Gabriel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Perhaps at that moment, perhaps Mary thought upon that great promise that was given to humanity all the way back in the Garden of Eden. We find that promise in Genesis 3:15, where it says, "I will put enmity between you," that's Satan, the serpent, "and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, it had always been perplexing, I think, to the Hebrews, why God would speak of the offspring of a woman instead of talking about the offspring of the man, because normally they reckoned, even since the beginning, the descent of people through the father, through the father's line. But this was different. Normally, as I said, it would be reckoned through the male line, but in this promise, God speaks of the woman's offspring. And that must have brought things into focus for Mary, because here she was, not yet married, a virgin, betrothed to Joseph, and she was going to have a child, according to the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself would be the father of this child, who would be the Son of God, God in the flesh. And that meant that God was not just demonstrating grace toward Mary and not just demonstrating grace toward his people, Israel, but he was about to do something for all the descendants of Adam and Eve, for all mankind, for you and for me. This son would be the savior of the nations. And that means that this is the happiest announcement for us too. God means to lavish us with his undeserved love. But it also means that he's not going to abandon his perfect righteousness and justice, for you know full well what this child would grow up to do. He would live a perfect life and die beneath the crushing damnation of God's wrath for all sin in our place, so that we are forgiven by his name. We are forgiven. Never forget that. Mary didn't forget it. She treasured this up in her heart, and when Luke asked her about it, she spilled it all forth for him to write down in detail so that we would know. But we'll think about a lot of those details at another time. For now, let us stand in awe with Mary as we hear that most beautiful, that happiest announcement ever heard. And while I don't suggest that we flap our arms around like manic chickens while we're doing it on national television, I do think that we should prepare in a dignified fashion for the arrival of the Savior of the nations, our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.